Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Kamen Rider Chronicles. I'm your host, Joe, and for this episode, we're going to be talking about episodes 11 and 12 of Kamen Rider Ichigo. So, welcome, everybody. I don't really have any news. Any new news, anyway. I did go back through and do a kill count for everybody. There's a lot. There is a good amount. And I'll give that toward the end of the episode. That way I can have these two episodes with it. And then, yeah, I'll just have a running total for kills, deaths, I guess, kill count. And then maybe from this point on, I'll try and get other things going on. You know, I did this, Ron and I did this for Rundown Reviews partway through. We started doing some fun stuff along the way. And as I'm watching, maybe I'll see some stuff that I'm like, hey, they've done this a few different times. I'll start keeping track of it. So yeah, this will be kind of fun. And I know I'm going to start doing that for Zets as well. So I'm going to go through Zets and go through all those and do a kill count for that as well. That one should be hard. It's only 7 episodes at the moment, but that'll be a Monday problem. that's a future Joe problem. Anyway, so let's go ahead and get into this episode. I do have, like I said, I've got the kill count I'll do at the end. I also have another thing I do want to talk about. Pay attention to this episode as I'm going along. See if you guys can catch on to what I'm talking about. And maybe you can, maybe what I say at the end isn't going to be as surprising. Or if you guys know if you're a Kamen Rider follower and you know Kamen Rider, maybe you already know what's going on with these episodes. But if you aren't, and this is your first time listening, hearing, watching, maybe you, like, I caught on to it as I was watching, I think, the second episode, episode 12. And so when I was going back and rewatching, maybe it was really more of the end of episode 11, but either way, as I was going through these episodes again, I paid more attention and it stuck out to me more. But no, we'll get into it toward the end of it. But yeah, so let's go ahead and talk about these episodes. So episode 11, the blood-sucking monster Geba Condor. So we see Takeshi out training for the All Japan Motocross Championship, which is literally just him driving his motorcycle out on dirt paths somewhere. Unbeknownst to Takeshi, Shocker combat men are watching on, gloating about defeating him. At a Shocker base, the great leader shows off his latest cyborg to the combat men. This is the Geba Condor. And silly me for thinking that this Shocker monster was going to resemble a condor in some way. Not really sure how to describe his look, because even combining all of the previous creatures that we have had up until this point, which is what this guy is, none of their abilities or none of their attributes appear in this guy, in the Geba Condor. Anyway, the Great Leader explains to the combat men that the Geba Condor is a combination of strengths from the previous Shocker monsters. We see pictures of Spider-Man, Batman, Sarasnian, the plant guy, and Scorpion Man. But I'm wondering if there were more to in this guy. Again, I think it is all of them, because that's what the Great Leader said. And specifically, there are a few times when Geba Condor turns invisible, which is a Chameleon Man power. So I don't know. Either way, he just said that Geba Condor hasn't awakened yet because he requires the blood of young women to live. That seems like a giant defect in my eyes, but here we are. So we pop over to this church where a young couple comes walking up to it and they see an old lady sitting out front. She's sitting there in a rocking chair and starts to ring a bell in the bell that's in the bell tower. And we see that this church is controlled by Shocker. The couple walk up to the lady and ask if they can get married at this church. And the lady just keeps staring at them as she is ringing this bell and then nods her head to go inside the church. And these two must really want to get married to have overlooked a giant red flag like that old lady. I mean, literally, she's just staring at them, doesn't say a word. It looks like her soul has left her body. I mean, it's really, really funky. So as the two get married, there is a kid on the outside of the church looking in. And what he sees is the old lady that is playing the wedding march song switch to the Reigns of Castamere, which is the sign for the combat men to attack. They knock out the groom and then kill the bride and gather her blood. And this kid saw it all. Back down in the Shocker base, which is below the church, the blood is given to the Geba Condor, and he now has the energy to take on Kamen Rider. But first, they go to test his abilities, and it's just Geba Condor in the wild, jumping and flapping his arms with tiny wings. At Snack Amigo, a letter arrived from Gazuya Taki, the winner of the previous All Japan Motocross Championship, and he has a friendly rivalry with Takeshi. The letter addressed to everyone at Snack Amigo was an invitation to his wedding that he was having before the next championship. Tachibana thought that Taki was being pretty confident getting married just before the championship. Ruriko mentioned that she hadn't seen Takeshi in a while, and Tachibana said that he has been working on some important research, and when he's not doing that, he's practicing for the championship. The day of the wedding arrives, and it just so happens to be taking place at the same church that is controlled by the Shocker agents. Surprisingly, the wedding goes off without a hitch, but that is only because there were too many witnesses. The combat men were basically taking a spray bottle to the Geba Condor to stop him from going after the bride during the wedding. Speaking of, Tachibana and Ruriko were at the wedding and were surprised that Takeshi never made it. Everyone in attendance went outside to wish the happy couple, Taki and his bride Yoko, safe travels and good luck in the championship. Taki and Yoko head off on their motorcycle, or I'm sorry, on his motorcycle, and when they are a ways away from the church, we cut back to the old lady, whose only jobs apparently are ringing the church bell and playing two songs on the church organ. Since she has already rang the bell and played song number one, the wedding march, it's time for song number two, which signals that it's time to attack. How the Geba Condor and the combat men heard the song all the way out here? Well, your guess is as good as mine. Either way, they did, and they attacked. And the way this played out was actually kind of great. Taki is driving along, not a care in the world, while Yoko is looking at him lovingly from the sidecar. And then he looks at her, and the Geba Condor is now in the sidecar. No clue how he was able to swoop in and pluck her out without Taki seeing it, but I audibly laughed when I saw this. Taki stopped the motorcycle and quickly saw Yoko being dragged away by combat men up on a hill. He tried to go after Yoko, but the Geba Condor got in his way, knocking him back down the hill. Takeshi shows up and quickly transforms into Kamen Rider to stop the Geba Condor, but when he did a Rider kick on him, it barely knocked him back. A second kick did knock him down, and Kamen Rider told Taki to get his wife and run. Taki didn't ask questions. He went after her and kicked some combat men ass. He was able to save Yoko, and the two of them were able to get away while Kamen Rider kept the Geba Condor busy. However, the power difference was apparent. Kamen Rider's punches and kicks did keep Geba Condor on his toes, but Geba Condor was throwing around Kamen Rider easily, and at one point tossed him into a hill. Literally. Like, after he threw the rider, we pan over and his lower half is sticking out of the ground. Like, just sticking out of a dirt hill. At the hospital, Yoko is recovering from the attack, and Taki is telling Tachibana and Ruriko that he had almost given up hope if it hadn't been for Kamen Rider showing up and saving them. Tachibana is surprised by this, since he hasn't heard from Takeshi in some time. He tries to call him both at his apartment and at his lab, to no avail. We then see the Geba Condor continuing his attacks on young women, at least three that they show. Tachibana read about the attacks in the paper and decided that he can't wait on the sidelines anymore. He heads out to the church and runs into the kid from earlier, and the kid told him that if he's planning on getting married, then he shouldn't do it here. Tachibana asks him if he knew anything, and the kid ran away instead of answering. As he keeps looking around, Tachibana runs into Taki, who is also checking out the church. The two of them know something is wrong at this church, so they head back to Snack Amigo to come up with a plan. Their plan is to fake a marriage between Tachibana and Ruriko, while Hiromi and Shiro, that is the name of the other guy, finally learned it, got it, woo! As those two investigate possible locations for an entrance to an underground shocker base, and Taki keeps watch on the roof. The wedding happens, and then immediately after the combat men attack, but these two are ready and quickly run out of the church and back into the car. Taki jumps down, giving them a defense so that they can get away. I said it before, and I'll say it again. The great leader needs to vet these combat men better, because if a regular guy like Taki is able to take on these guys, not once, but twice, and walk away, then these combat men fucking suck. Either way, he fights his way back to his motorcycle and follows after Tachibana and Ruriko. And at this point, the Geba Condor, because he is also currently chasing after them, so he can get that sweet, sweet young woman blood. I know that sounds bad. I know it sounded bad when I wrote it, but I wanted to keep it that way. Geba Condor manages to catch up and lands on the roof of the car, causing Tachibana to stop and the two of them to get out. Just then, Kamen Rider comes riding in on Cyclone, his motorcycle, and then jumps up to fight Geba Condor on top of the car roof. After throwing a few punches at each other, the two of them end up rolling around on the ground, with Kamen Rider having to defend himself more and more. Kamen Rider quickly realizes that if this keeps up, then he's going to run out of power, and then he'll really be in trouble. He's able to knock Geba Condor off of him and hops back onto Cyclone to drive around so that his belt can get some more air into it. With some distance now between them, Kamen Rider barrels down on Geba Condor, and when he tries to fly away, Kamen Rider takes Cyclone to the sky, ramming Geba Condor with it, causing him to blow up. You heard me right. He blew up. This was another scene that made me laugh out loud, but I'm totally here for it. Kamen Rider rode off silently from Tachibana and Ruriko, and I guess Ruriko wanted to give chase because she jumps into the car and drives off, leaving Tachibana behind. It was kind of a pretty funny scene, because he's just literally flailing his arms saying, you need to keep me, or take me with you, kind of thing. Like, don't forget about me. Pretty funny. So, the next episode. Okay, so this next episode is called The Murderous Yamaguras? So we start out with this one. We're at the Shirakawa Optics Research Institute, where these two scientists, Shirakawa and Shibata, were testing a new laser invention. After killing a defenseless bunny, Shirakawa decided that it was too dangerous, and not wanting the design to fall into the wrong hands, they put the formula and schematics on a microfilm. Shibata asked where he was going to hide it, but Shirakawa said that he wasn't going to tell him that. The next day, Shibata didn't come into work because in reality, he was an agent of Shocker, and he had already put a down payment on the cyborg remodeling plan, and those are non-refundable, and the day chosen to be operated on is not really negotiable. So he became the Yamagaris or the Yamagalas or the Gekagaris. I don't know, three different names, and I think he's supposed to be a gecko. Because apparently I looked it up, and the Japanese word for gecko is Yame. Y-A-M-O-I. Yamo. I apologize for my pronunciation there. So he's a gecko. So I'm just going to call him Gecko from here on out. At least that's what I have in my notes. So, yeah. So the great leader tasked him with obtaining the schematics at best and the laser at worst from Shirakawa. But first, he is to go test his powers. And he does that by first climbing the side of a tower and then by attacking a couple of guys that are passing by. Think Little Mac and Doc Louie from Punch-Out or Rocky and Mickey from Rocky. One is on a bike and the other is shadow boxing. He then starts real boxing Gecko when he pops up, but neither one of these guys stands a chance. Gecko knocks out the guy that was on the bike and then spits some sort of white spray from his mouth that encases the other guy. Gecko picks him up, the guy that's encased in this white stuff, carries him to the nearest bridge, and tosses him over the bridge into this water, essentially killing him. Takeshi and Ruriko, were racing on some random road when Takeshi abruptly stopped, allowing Ruriko to pull ahead. She stops to gloat, but then sees a small group of bikers chasing after a car. These vehicles end up passing by these two, and then the car comes to a stop when one of the bikers pulls out in front of it. The bikers attempt to kidnap the occupants in the car, who turned out to be Shirakawa and another coworker, when one of them turned around and saw Ruriko. I guess he finally remembered they weren't the only ones on the road today. He threw his boomerang weapon at her, but before it could hit her, Kamen Rider snagged it out of the air and threw it back. The bikers then started chasing after Kamen Rider because it turns out that he is always the most important prize, apparently. Nothing really came out of this outside of Kamen Rider embarrassing these guys. Like, it was actually kind of funny. They circled around him, and then they stopped. And so it's like, it's three of them. And they stopped in front of him. He's in the middle. They stopped all in, like, triangle spots. And all three of them come at him at once. And he takes Cyclone and jumps out of the way. And all three of them hit each other, and they all fall over. Again, it's just embarrassing for these guys. So, at the Shirakawa residence, Ruriko asked him if he had any idea why they would be after him. He says he didn't, when you add in the fact that Shibata didn't come into work, and then he gets attacked, he 100% knows it's because of the laser schematics. Suddenly, his sister, Machiko, screams from the other room after seeing Gecko crawling on the ceiling. They rush in there to find nothing, and Ruriko asks again if there is anything they might be after. Shirakawa still feigns ignorance. Later that night, Shirakawa puts the microfilm into a locket and gives it to Machiko for her birthday. He said that the jewel on the locket will protect her. The clerk that he bought the locket from must have forgotten to tell him that protection cost extra, because Gecko grabs her just before she gets ready for bed. He saw Shirakawa put the microfilm into the locket, so all he had to do was just wait until she was alone to nab her. At Snacks Amigo, Shirakawa comes in and tells Ruriko and the rest of the group that Machiko has been kidnapped, and that the thing that Shocker had wanted, the plans for the deadly laser, was hidden in her locket. Murder Hobo Gecko goes on a killing spree with a newly built, what they are calling, Danger Light. Although I'm really questioning why they needed the microfilm at this stage, when I'm almost positive they could have easily just have taken the first device, the one that was at the very beginning of the episode. And I call him Murder Hobo because what we get here is him just killing a couple people randomly in the middle of, I was going to say the street, but it's maybe a park, because he kills these two or three guys and then he goes sliding down a slide after he is very happy doing it. It's kind of funny. Anyway, the Great Leader explains the next phase of their plan, which is to build a Danger Light device big enough to shoot down a plane from the sky. But to do that, they would need Shirakawa. Ruriko is trying to keep his spirits up. He is worried about his sister, which makes sense, but she tells him that Machiko is still alive because Shocker is probably moving to their next phase of their plans, and if that's the case, it might involve him, and if that's the case, then they would need leverage. Machiko being leverage, obviously. Ruriko hears something in the other room, and because the plot demands it, goes chasing after the phantom sound down the street. It was Gecko, and he's drawing her away so that Shocker can finally reach Shirakawa about his extended warranty on his Danger Light device. The voice on the other end of the phone tells Shirakawa that he needs to go to the address that he is about ready to give him, and to not tell Takeshi. Now, two things here. First is that Shirakawa hangs up the phone before he is even given the address, but somehow he had already written it down. Second, this man hasn't met Takeshi. To my knowledge, he has no idea who that is. The voice should have said not to tell Ruriko. Not that it mattered, though, because as soon as she got back to the house, she saw the notepad and did the whole pencil rubbing thing across the paper. You know, it ends up revealing the address anyway. So Ruriko ends up finding the Shocker base after finding the address, and Gecko comes out and is getting ready to use the Danger Light device on her. But Kamen Rider shows up and ends up protecting her, giving her time to flee. This became a jumping fight, as Kamen Rider is jumping from place to place, dodging the Danger Light that Gecko keeps firing at him. Some combat men come out to slow him down, but this doesn't work either. Gecko goes running off and Kamen Rider follows. In the base, Shirakawa finishes up modifying the bigger version of the device, and the Great Leader declares that they are going to test it out on Kamen Rider. The bigger Danger Light is set up at the top of a set of stairs, and Gecko leads Kamen Rider up there, up the stairs, up them. He has to take out a couple of combat men that hop in his way, but then he gets sprayed by Gecko's spray, and he gets encased in whatever that stuff is that Gecko sprays out. This all so that Gecko has an easier target to hit with the Danger Light. Ruriko, who was watching from nearby, isn't going to let that stand, though. She rushes in and pushes the encased Kamen Rider over the side, and he smashes out of the cocoon. He jumps up and fights off the combat men, but gets sucker punched down the stairs by Gecko. Gecko starts to run off, but Shirakawa grabs hold of Dandelion and lights up Gecko. The episode ends with Kamen Rider waving to Shirakawa, Machiko, and Ruriko, and then hopping on a Cyclone and riding away. Now, if you guys were paying attention, one thing that was not really in these two episodes was Takeshi. And that is because the actor that played Takeshi, Hiroshi Fujioka. There we go. Hiroshi Fujioka. He had to leave the show at this point. So actually, I'll just go ahead and read what was posted here. Following the motorcycle stunt accident, which forced Hiroshi Fujioka to leave the show, this episode was at a point where a combination of reused footage of Takeshi Hongo and the replacement voice actor for Kamen Rider had to be used to fill in for his absence. The addition of Taki, and this was when he showed up, helped somewhat to ease the transition before a new protagonist could be introduced starting in episode 14. Taki would assist the new writer, Hayato Ichimanji, as well as Takeshi himself when he returned, serving as an ally to the two Kamen Riders all the way to the end of the series. So, I knew Takeshi came back. I knew Takeshi left in, air quotes left, in 13, episode 13 was his last episode. And I found out here is why he left, because he got in a motorcycle accident. I didn't know it was this episode. So actually it would have been episode 10. Maybe it was actually this episode too. But episode 10 or 11 that he had to leave. He did not come back. And it kind of sucks. I mean, again, I know he comes back later, so that's great for him. He comes back around episode 40. So he's only gone for 20 some episodes, almost, well, 30 some episodes. And then, I mean, there's 98 episodes in the season. So, like, it's not like he's not, he's fine. He's going to get a paycheck. But it's just one of those things where, yeah, it sucks that I'm happy he came back. It sucks that he got in an accident, but I'm happy he was able to return. It was very apparent, because these two episodes were so lacking Takeshi. Like, it was toward the end of the first episode when it was just all Ruriko and Tachibana. And I'm like, why is there not a lot of Takeshi? And then in the next episode, when they showed him during the racing between Takeshi and Ruriko, you never saw his face. And when he slowed down and stopped, like, again, you didn't see his face. And the whole time when they're trying to keep the secret of him becoming Kamen Rider away from Ruriko, and you do something like this where, these two are racing by each other, and then Ruriko gets attacked, and, oh, look, Kamen Rider's right here. It's like, what? You've tried so hard to not let her know, and now you're literally just basically letting her know. Like, I mean, she still doesn't know, which is amazing. I mean, next episode, we'll see what happens there. But if she ever does really find out, I don't know, who knows. But yeah, so that is what happened with that. Like I said, I know he comes back. I believe next episode, and I'll get more information when we get there, but I believe next episode is the final episode for Ruriko. sure we'll get, like, I'll get information. The Kamen Rider Wiki has been great with the information, which is great, which is awesome. But anyway, no, that gives us to, brings us to our kill count for these two episodes. Actually, you know what? I'll just do kill count for everything. Yeah. So, what we got here? We'll start out with the Shocker Doctors, which there's two of them. They have two at the moment. Spider-Man from the first episode has two. Batman has zero, because everybody he bit, they all got turned into bat people, but they all, everybody got turned back. Like, there's one person that, I mean, I guess you maybe count one, because I think the very first girl lady that he bit, that we saw, that went to attack Takeshi, I think she might have died? Question mark? I don't know if they ever actually saved her. So in theory, you could count her. I don't know. We'll see. Next up is Scorpion Man. He's got 14. So he's currently winning when it comes to villains. The Saracenian, he's got one. Mantis Man has two. Chameleon Man has zero. So, you know, maybe tied with Batman. B-Woman has one. Cobra Man has... Wait, did I do that right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6? Yeah, 6. Let's see. Combat Men have one, because they technically killed the bride first to give the blood to the Geba Condor. Speaking of Geba Condor, he's got three that we know of. We've got the Gecko, who has three. Someone Else, which would be this one, Shirakawa, has one. And I'm just going to leave it as Someone Else. So if, like, say, some other random... Like, say if Taki kills somebody, he'll go in the... Well, maybe if... He'll go into Someone Else until he kills another person, another whatever. Then maybe I'll put a thing for him. I don't know. I'll figure that one later. But then we get Kamen Rider. He is currently sitting at 49. So after 12 episodes, he's at 49. That includes a fly. Now, I don't know if that fly was already dead, but the episode with B-Woman... He grabs a fly and puts it in the tea that was spilt that Ruriko was trying to poison them with. And that kills the fly, so I'm counting it. Yeah, 49 currently. That's a lot. He kills a lot of people. And I'm sure I'm not counting all of them. These are just ones that are I can confirm. Because technically, he does fight off a lot of combat men. And while I could probably count every one of those, like every time he throws one off of a hill, I could count them. But there are definitely ones that I'm like specifically counting. Like I know when he fought the B-Woman, they all had swords. So every time he would grab one and actually stab them, I counted that. But like anytime he would just like punch them and they'd fall down, I'm not going to count that one. Yes, he's a cyborg, and yes, he's punching a potentially regular person that potentially he could kill them. I'm not going to count that, especially since a lot of times I see the combat men get back up. So, but there are moments where they do, especially some of the earlier episodes, when they would die and they would congeal into like the blood or the soap or whatever. The pearls for the one episode, the Mantis Man episode. So, yeah, so there we go. 49 at the moment. Now, that's all I got. This is going to be fun to keep track of. I'm sure, like, I know this next episode, literally all these guys are coming back. I think this was just a I look forward to actually watching that episode because I know that there is something in between 13 and 14 that came later that's supposed to try to help explain how, like, basically the passing of the torch for Takeshi to Hayato. I'm gonna look into that one because I want to see how that actually plays out. Because they do talk about it a little bit, apparently, in episode 14, but this little snippet is supposed to explain it in a little more depth. But I'm gonna look into that, and hopefully I can find it and can get a better explanation. So, but no, that's all I got for now. So thank you all for listening. You guys can find the show over on social media at Comic Book Rundown. You can email us, comicbookrundown@gmail.com. Rate and review us on your podcasting app of choice. We've got merch over on TeePublic. We've got Rundown Reviews every Friday, Comic Book Rundown the last Saturday of the month, Getting Franchise the last Sunday of the month, this show Monday and Thursdays, and that is everything. So thank you all for listening, and we will catch you next time.